And so this morning, we're going to look at Ephesians 4, and we're going to look at our foundation as the body. So let's read together Ephesians 4. You can flip there in your own Bibles or open your Bible app or just follow along on the screen. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and went and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measures of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all the members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, and they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. The word of the Lord. So this morning, we're going to look at what I like to call the three TEDs of Ephesians 4. This is gifted, united, and rooted. So let's start with our first TED. So this is a TED talk, guys. So gifted. But before we get into that, I really like gifts. I love gifts, in fact. I was like the kid on Christmas who was like vibrating, waking up at 1 o'clock. My family actually had to set a rule that I could not wake anybody else up until it was like 6:30. Because I would wake them up at 1 and be like, it's Christmas! Because I love gifts. And when I graduated from seminary, my wife and her family gave me a gift. They actually gave me an iPad, and so sometimes on Sunday mornings you'll see me looking at my iPad. It's just because I'm not checking Facebook or anything. I'm actually reading along, and I like to look up the Greek words on stuff, and so that's what I'm doing. So I'm not checking my emails or Facebook, but Sam gave me this gift of an iPad, and it wasn't just any gift, it was a useful gift. Like I said, it gives me the ability to look up Greek words, and it gives me the ability to work here in my office, and I can kind of transport my Bible with me on my iPad. And so it's not just a gift, but it's a useful gift. And as we look at Ephesians 4, 1 and 7 to 12, we see something about useful gifts that are given to us as the body of Christ. Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives. And when he gave gifts to his people. And what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So when we look at this, we see that Paul starts off by saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What is this calling? It's not just a generic calling of, you know, you're called to be a pastor, or you're called to be a teacher, or you're called to, you know, do whatever you do. This is more of a intimate calling. This is the calling that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 16, 24, Luke 9, 23, and Mark 8, 34, which all say the same thing. If anyone who would come after me, this is Jesus speaking, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and in Luke it says, daily, and follow me. This is the calling that Paul is talking about. This is the calling he's urging the church in Ephesus to take on, this calling to follow Christ with their whole lives. Arthur Petzera, who's a commentator, says it this way, to live a life is a translation of the Greek, which means to walk. They are exhorted to walk, to live out their new life in Christ and the unity that is theirs in the church. This is how Paul starts off Ephesians 4. Calling the body to receive, to live in the calling of being ones who live wholly for Christ. Then we see it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What Paul is referring to here is the imagery that would come to mind to the Ephesians would be when a Roman emperor comes back from a battle in victory, he showers the gifts onto his people. And similarly, when Christ won the victory over death and darkness and destruction on the cross and rose from the dead in 3 days, he then showered gifts upon his people, like a victorious emperor coming back to the capital. And these gifts, it says, are he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Jesus gave gifts not so that we could use them for ourselves, but so that we could, as the body of Christ. Build each other up. We talked about this last week as well. We're all gifted in many different ways, and actually, Pastor Jesse next week is going to kind of hone in this a little more and talk about how we can know what gifts we have and how we can engage in those gifts and use those gifts as the body. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying Christ has showered gifts upon us. Gifts of teaching, gifts of pastoring, gifts of leading, gifts of serving, gifts of praying, that we can engage in these useful gifts and use not just for ourselves, but for our body of Christ. Peter says it this way, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. In various forms. These gifts are given through God's grace. These gifts are the forms of God's grace to us. And Peter, like Paul, encourages us to use these in the body, like Paul says, to build us up. In Ephesians 4:12b, the latter half of verse 12 and 13, it says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The Greek word here is a Greek word of completion. When we begin to engage in these gifts that Christ has given us, showered upon us, when we begin to engage in them properly by using them in the body, we become united, which brings us to our next TED. It says in Ephesians 4:2-1-6 and 13, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I want everybody to look at your finger. So this finger, we can move it. And we can shake it, and we can point with it, and we can do all sorts of things with it. But when we look at our finger, what we see is just one finger, right? But the interesting thing is that one finger has many different parts of it that make it so that we can simply just go, it has bones and ligaments and cells. It has nerves. All of these intricate parts that work in tandem, work in unity, so that we can simply just move our finger. We don't even think about it. Sunnyside, we are like a finger of the body of God. We are one part, but we are many. And when we work in unison, when we work in unity, we are reaching the full measure of our calling in Christ. As the body of Christ. There is one body and one Spirit, Paul says. Not separate bodies. One body, unified together. He says to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 12:12-20, for just as the body is one and has many members, as it is there are many parts, yet one body. United together like a finger. But all of this is great. We can have gifts and we can be united, but what ties us together? What is our foundation? Because we can have gifts and we can be united, but if we're not rooted in a proper foundation, it doesn't really work out. In Ephesians 4:12 or 2b and 15 to 16, it says, bearing with one another in love, instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is our foundation. This is what we're rooted in as the body of Christ. Like I said, we can have gifts. We can do amazing things. We can serve. We can pray. We can preach. We can teach. We can be united in those things, but if we're not united and rooted, if our foundation is not set in love, it falls apart. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13, Paul says it like this: if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then he goes into that famous passage that's said at almost every single wedding. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love is the core. Love is the foundation. He says later on in 1 Corinthians, let all you do be done in love. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Above all else, love one another. And in that love, we begin to express the gifts that Christ has given us. And in that love, we begin to become united because we're rooted in the love of Christ. And through that, we realize that that love is from Christ. In Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7, it says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up, in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And when we begin to realize that we are rooted in the love of Christ, we begin to become transformed. Now, this wasn't a TED, so this is what Sam and I, when we order, like, from McDonald's, when we order fries, there's these really cool things that we call sneaky fries. And they're the fries that kind of fall out of the package because sometimes they just throw it in there. And it's like a little surprise, a little sneaky fry. So this is our little sneaky fry for our passage. Our little surprise. When we become the body of Christ, when we begin to engage in the gifts he's given us, when we begin to become united, when we begin to be rooted in Christ's love, we begin to become transformed in him. We talked a little bit about that last week, and Paul talks about that later on in Ephesians, and it can be summarized in these verses. I won't reread that whole section again. But he says in 4:17a, 22 and 22 to 24, or 23 to 24. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. Put off the old self. Be made new in your attitudes of your minds and put on the new self created to be like God. We begin to be transformed. As the transformed body of Christ, his love penetrates through thought and action, character, and that's supposed to say life, not live. But you live transformed. And so this morning we've looked at the three TEDs of Ephesians 4, gifted, united, rooted as the body of Christ. We've also seen that we are transformed in that when we begin to embrace the gifts God has given us, when we begin to become united, when we begin to be rooted in Him, we are transformed. And over the last 2 years, we've kind of been on survival mode, haven't we, through COVID? We've been doing what we've been doing so that we can get through. But now we're coming out of it. Restrictions are being lifted. And we once again can step out of survival mode and begin to embrace these gifts, to celebrate these gifts, to become the united body of Christ. So I want to leave you with a challenge this morning. As we enter into communion, a time when we can celebrate as one and come around the table as the body of Christ. And as we head into this week and as we prepare for next Sunday as we come together as the body of Christ, I want to challenge all of us, me included, to think about these things. How can I begin to embrace the gifts Christ has given me? How can I begin to become united and rooted in His love and transformed? And together this week, I want all of us, again, me included, to pray about that, to ask God, Lord, how do you want me to be a part of the body of Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you. We thank you that we can gather together as the body of Christ with so many others. We thank you for your word and the direction it brings, the guidance it brings. Lord, we thank you that we can hear from your word. We thank you that we live in a country where we can do this freely and openly. And Lord, as we come around your table this morning, as we head into this week, may we pray that prayer, Lord, reveal to me, show me how I can be a member in your body. We lift this to you, Lord. We lift each other to you, and we pray this in your name. Amen.